Leonardo Castelli, his final lecture on open closed string duality.
Okay, thank you. Indeed, let me briefly summarize what we did in the last couple of lectures. I think I've said this 30 times. There is a remarkable way to describe the OpenString moduli space in terms of a product, which is topologically a trivial product, it's just a direct product, of, in terms of the closed string moduli space, where we consider a closed Riemann surface of a certain genus and with a certain number P of punctures, we specify as many real positive numbers as there are punctures, and this leads to a open surface of the same genus and with as many holes as the closed surface has punctures. And this gives a very nice way to understand the relation between open and closed diagrams. This is a different way to decompose the closed moduli space as you use in closed string field theory. This decomposition of the closed moduli space does not manifestly show factorization over the closed string poles, but it is the natural language if we want to make sense of the idea. So this is sort of the general framework now, is that we would like, given an open amplitude, where we have, of course, to integrate over the open moduli space. And of course, the idea now is that we will explicitly integrate over the moduli that corresponds to the length of the holes. And we are bound to get some effective puncture replacing each hole, which by this mathematical theorem is bound to be a local operator on the string worksheet. And by turning this around, if you're interested in computing correlators of closed string vertex operators, we can think of blowing each of them up to a hole and compute things then not in the closed string channel, but the open string channel by some, by the word volume theorem living on the brains. So this, we of course hope, is the general mechanism that underlies open clone dualities in, of course, we ideally like to understand ADS-CFT in this language. So are there questions or, as Shiraz says, skeptical comments on this? You should be skeptical because I'm proposing something which is fairly ambitious. And in fact, it's clear that there will be, in general, obstructions in making this work in generic realistic examples. Right, of course, in general, it will be, so well, there are several ways you could, in which you can answer this question. The first level of skepticism might be that in general, it is not obvious, and it may in fact be false, that you will be able to get a nice closed string vertex operator. All that the geometric arguments I've given you show so far, that you will get some closed string insertion, but this might well be a pretty horrible non-normalizable closed string insertion, which is in fact what I strongly suspect will happen generically. If you consider a bunch of D-brains in flat space, I certainly don't believe that if you carry through this procedure of explicitly integrating over the moduli that correspond to NPLO, you will get anything particularly nice. You will get some non-normalizable closed-string vertex operator, and that, of course, as an immediate physical interpretation. We are inserting some D-brains, and, well, I'm trying to, in some sense, replace the brains with a closed string background. But we know that that is not quite right. We know that the closed string background that we obtain is not a solution of the vacuum field equation. It's a solution with some delta function sources. So that will will show up at the level of this worksheet description by the fact that this vertex operator will be pretty nasty, possibly non-normalizable. And that is the worksheet counterpart of the space-time picture of the fact that we are really adding some new degrees of freedom to the closing background when we place dbrains there. And if you attempt to integrate the open strings out, we will run at some level, we run into trouble. So this general picture that so far was a geometric picture, well, I'm not exactly sure what is that. So this is just true. Now, the next step is to would be to explicitly carry out the integral over the moduli that correspond to length of the whole, but it's not at all guaranteed that you will get some smooth closing description. In fact, this is bound to fail, I would think, in the examples, for example, of dbrains in flat space. So, so where do we want to go with this? Well, the dream, of course, is that although this will fail for dbrains in flat space, this is not really where we want to apply this. What we really want to get at is to ADS CFT. And so what I would like to present next is sort of a toy model for ADS CFT, which will be extremely simple, but it will have, I believe, some generic features that that are also present in ADS CFT. And of course, the hope is that the model is working not because it's so simple, but because it shares these generic features with ADS CFT. So in particular, I would like to emphasize the role of Liouville conformal field theory. Unfortunately, there is not much time to really go into the details of Liouville conformal field theory, but so I very quickly wrote down the Liouville action, I believe, last time. There is some background charge for the Liouville field, and then crucially there is some potential, some Liouville wall, which becomes big for phi very large. And the very simple models that I introduced last time, this very simple non-critical string theory, which had a non-critical Mellert system made up of two anti-commuting scalars and then the Liouville field of central charge 28. So you can think of these anti-commuting scalars as some kind of decoration that is there to make the theory topological. And you should really think perhaps of the space-time as being a one-dimensional space-time along the Liouville direction. And the way this is a toy model for ADS-CFT is that ADS, we can also think of, well, we have the boundary of ADS, which is where the boundary space-time conformal field theory lives. And then we have our radial direction. And of course, I'm not the first to say that there is a close relation between the radial direction in ADS and the Liouville direction. And so we hope that the features that we will encounter in this toy model may at some level carry over to ADS-FT, where the Liouville direction becomes the radial anti-de Sitter direction. So,
Is that meant to be an analogy, or do you think that was closer?
Well, as I was sort of mentioning to you a few days ago, I'm sort of working with Davide on some again, not quite the full ADS-CFT story, which is beyond our reach at the moment, but some. So the next best thing we can do is to look at the string theory on the ADS-3 cross S-3 background times some four-dimensional manifold in the Neve-Schwarz background, where the reason why this is the next best thing we can do is that this is essentially the only case where there is an explicit conformal field theory description, and there it appears like, indeed, the conformal field theory of ADS3 shares many common features with the UV field theory, and that you can make this correspondence more precise.
What about the continuum? So there's a continuum in this UV direction, whereas ADS is gapped.
You're thinking about the continuum vertex operators,
yeah,
of the UV field theory. But actually, there is a close analogy for the conformal field theory of ADS3, at least in Denver-Schwartz background. So exactly, there is a very close analogy there. So
ADS5, we know there is no continuum, so it can't be precisely.
Well, we can talk about that. I think there is a. So in some sense, the well, that actually doesn't make too much difference. The there are many things one could say, but the so what Shiraz is referring to is the fact that in UV field theory there are roughly two. The vertex operator of UV field theory are of the following form, quite naturally. There is e to the alpha phi, and there is a very interesting story that unfortunately there will not be too much time to get into, but UV field theory is peculiar in the sense that the state operator correspondence sort of fails, and there are roughly two classes of vertex operator you may want to consider. One class is operator of the form alpha equal 1/2 plus IQ, where Q is a real number. And the other class of vertex operator is alpha real. And they play very different roles in the theory. The ones with alpha real correspond to non-normalizable excitation that you should think physically as very much as in ADS-FT, like exciting something at the boundary. It is they correspond in ADS-FT language, which many of you may be more familiar with, to the idea that you are inserting some operator on the boundary and probing the theory by computing correlators of these various vertex operators. According to whether, actually I should have been a little bit more precise, this is true for states which have alphas more than 1/2. States, operators which still have alpha real but have alphas smaller, bigger than 1/2, if you think a little bit about it in terms of where the operator are concentrated, they have the opposite behavior. And they correspond, again, in the ADS-FT language, at the dual operators that give a VEV to the corresponding conformal field theory operator. So I realize that maybe I should sort of switch. I'd be happy to sprint this at length, but people who are familiar with ADS-FT, we have recognized all these words, but people who don't know the whole ADS-FT story in detail may be a bit mystified by all of this, but the point is that there is a close analogy, which is was in fact instrumental in deriving many results in the ADS-FT between UV field theory and an anti de Sitter space. And to briefly answer Shiraz's question, in the context of the ADS-3, the other states, the one in the continuum, are in fact projected out. The only one that counts is the in the bosonic thing would be the Takin vertex operator, which is absent in the superstring. And you can there is a whole story, some beautiful pair by Lassen and Oguri, in which although the basic continuum vertex operator are projected out, there is a notion of spectral flow, and such operators correspond to so-called long string in ADS-3, and there is a very direct match between things you can do in UV field theory and things you can do in the ADS-3 background. So right now I wouldn't have something really interesting to say about ADS5, but certainly in the case of ADS3, there is a very close analogy. So anyway, this was perhaps, yes? So okay, from the point of view of what I'm going to explain next, I'm simply looking at a specific closed-in theory, where the Liouville field is one of the ingredients. It's just that my closed-string vertex, my closed-string conformal field theory is defined, roughly speaking, in terms of the Liouville. I mean, Liouville field, and then there is these are funny anti-commuting directions that are that in fact will play a rather minor role there, kind of there, because the theory where you don't have those and you have Liouville with central charge equal 26 is harder to study. It does not have the same kind of topological properties. But the essential physics is contained in the Liouville direction, and the essential physics is very much the holographic type of correspondence we became used to in ADSFT. We probe the theory. The natural vertex operators are localized for phi equal minus infinity, and we compute correlators of those, which, using this analogy with the SFT, corresponds to computing correlators of insertions, of operators inserting at the boundary of the space. So the phi equal minus infinity direction is the boundary of ADS, the phi equal plus infinity direction is the deep interior of ADS, and I'm using this analogy partly because for two reasons. First, because obviously this is where we would eventually like to apply all of this, and second, because it's quite likely that people in the audience are more familiar with ADSFT than they are with the intricate technical aspects of Liouville field theory. So I don't know if that answers your question to some extent. Okay. So anyway, that's sort of the idea. So what we can dream of doing is considering now D-brains. So, of course, eventually we'd like to do this here, but for now we will do this just here. We can consider D-brains in this closed-loop theory and apply this philosophy. What this philosophy tells us is that we can do either one of the two following things. We can either look at the word volume theory on these D-brains. That's the open side. Or we can here really, because the theory is so simple, explicitly perform the integral over the radial direction and replace each hole with a puncture and see open-close duality really work and compute scattering of closed-in vertex operators inserting at this phi equal minus infinity boundary by blowing up each closed-in vertex operator and computing things from the dual open side. And of course, we hope that this eventually someday may extend to more interesting examples. Is this clear? So anyway, this is a lot of words. So I think I showed you this transparency already as well. Now the I gave you a definition of this closed-in theory from the point of view of the continuum formulation. And I also mentioned that there is a completely different class of matrix models that I, if time permits, I will perhaps say something more at the end. They were, in fact, instrumental in finding the exact solution of the theory in the early 90s. People were using matrix models in a very different way as a way to discretize the Riemann surface. And by using various set of tricks, they were able to completely solve the theory to all orders in perturbation theory. So I told you that the basic vertex operators of the theory are some operator we'll call O2k plus 1. The details are not really important, except for the fact that now I can actually motivate perhaps a little bit better the fact that there's a Liouville vertex operator, which you see typically for k bigger than 0, diverges for phi equal minus infinity. And then there are there is a matter part which you can essentially ignore, is the one that is made up of these anti-commuting parts. So the essential thing is that you have some vertex operator which blow up for phi equal to minus infinity, and these are your closing vertex operators, and you can just, using a completely different point of view of double scaling of this discretization of the Riemann surface, you can just solve everything exactly. It introduces this sources decay to keep track of which correlators you are computing, and the miracle is that this full closing partition function is a function of these sources, is an integrable, is a tau function of an integrable hierarchy, and you know everything about it. So in a seemingly completely unrelated development, building up on work by Witten, Koncievich found a representation of this function z of t using another matrix integral, which has absolutely no relation with the matrix integral that were used to discretize the surface and solve the theory. And the Koncievich proved that the complete solution of the model is encoded by this matrix integral, which I think I was already showing to you. So let's look at it slowly. So this is a cubic matrix integral over an Hermitian matrix X. So you just integrate over X, and you see there is an external matrix Z, which you can diagonalize. The answer clearly depends on the eigenvalues of Z. And what Koncievich really proved is that this integral is a tau function of the appropriate integrable hierarchy. So since people who were discretizing Riemann surfaces found that the complete solution of the closed-string theory is a tau function of the appropriate type, Koncievich came along and, using some algebraic geometry techniques, found a matrix integral representation of the same tau function. Then, well, this is a solution of the model encoded in some funny way in a matrix integral. So, of course, what we are observing is that this is not just some mathematical obscure math, but this has a very direct physical meaning. And what we want to say is that this is a realization of open-closed duality. Namely, what we want to literally interpret this as the theory that lives on the Wahr volume of appropriate d-brains in this closing theory. And this is the open-string field theory on n such d-brains. Is the program clear? In some sense, you could have thought of this matrix model, without knowing any of the above, as a toy model for cubic string field theory. Because I was showing you Witten's cubic string field theory, which is something like this, where psi is a complicated open string field, which obeys an absorptive star product algebra. So there is a notion of multiplying open string fields. And certainly the simplest way you can come up with a model of things that multiply in a associative way is in terms of n by n matrices. So you may think of this matrix model as the simplest possible incarnation of an open string field theory, which it turns out to really be. So the relation with the previous transparency requires, of course, that I tell you some kind of dictionary between these parameter t's that appear in the closed string partition function and this parameter z that appear in this matrix model. And this is the precise relation. So it may look a little weird at first, but in fact, it really helps to do one simple example that I may we'll see. I will present the slide, and if I really like to tell me if that example is clear, it's simple, but makes a lot of things transparent. But if you stare at this formula for a moment, what you see, well, certainly this matrix model makes sense for any n. N is not taken to infinity. This was one of the points that I was emphasizing at the beginning. There is no, the way we are advocating open-closed duality to work is for, without any double scaling, and without any tuning of the Tuff coupling to any critical value. But it's still true that if you are interested in the in knowing the answer for an arbitrary value of the parameter t, which is infinitely many of them, then in order to for this relation to be invertible, you need to take infinitely many of the n to be infinitely large. But on the other hand, if you take n to be finite, for example, if you take n equals to 2, then you are spanning a subspace of all possible clustering deformations of the background. Is this point clear?
If we want to set all t's to 0, we should take the zn's to infinity?
That's right.
So that's the original topological
model. That's the original topological model. Which t's are called t's for good reason. They are the analog of the Tuff coupling. So in this theory, if you think about it for a second, it is as if you had a different coupling constant for each different boundary, because the z's at like the closing coupling constant, and so you have kind of an infinite set of two couplings at your disposal.
For large z, the metric model is
perturbative. You could rescale things in such a way that you extract some common factor and you put it in front of the x cube term, and for large z, that cube term would be like 1 over z and go to make the metric model perturbative. So in fact, although it makes perfect sense to take the metric model with finite n, it's of course very useful, very instructive to do a large n expansion. So we can now follow the usual Tuft's reasoning and make a large n expansion, keeping the TK is fixed, and they play the role of generalized Tuft couplings, and then the perturbative expansion, the metric model, organizes itself as a sum of surfaces of different genera weighted by increasing powers of 1 over n. It's a little bit of an illusion reality, because what you can do is you can compute the metric model exactly by, first of all, you need to continue x to ix, and then you get something which actually converges for when the z's are negative or positive, whatever. There is you get a function which is analytic everywhere except when, and you may think that for z, that this is not an entire function, which is the essential singularity for z equals 0. But in fact, this is the magic of the Airy function, which turns out to be entire, even. And you can analytically continue, and it's.
X is there a Hermitian
matrices? X is, in the way I wrote things, they are Hermitian matrices. I could, if you really want to compute, well, You could, if you really want to do the integral and use tricks like orthogonal polynomials and things like that, then you better, as you're saying, it doesn't really make this integral really doesn't make sense. You have to do some kind of analytic continuation. But you can do that. I wrote these things in this way because, of course, that's the more physical way of writing them. But okay, so. Okay, so I hope I haven't lost you. I mean, this is all very very simple. It's just a matrix model, n by n matrices. So why are we insisting that this is like an open Sifield theory? You will see that the simplest calculation will hopefully convince you that that's the right interpretation. And the simplest calculation we are going to do, we are going to compute the simplest non-trivial diagram in the large n expansion of the model, which is the diagram on the sphere with three holes. So for that, I need to derive Feynman rules. The Feynman rules are obvious in double line notation. Since they just have a cubic vertex, there's just a vertex with 1 over g. And if you think for a minute about it, the propagator goes like 1 over zi plus zj. That is simply because if you have trace z x squared, you expand this out, well, summing over I and J, ZI, XIJ, XJI, when you take the derivative with respect to XIJ, you will pick up two terms, one from XI and the other from XJ. So anyway, that's the propagator, and let's compute the simplest possible diagram. I was going through that as the prototype of how you triangulate the OpenC moduli space. So I don't think I need to explain this into much more detail. These are the two basic type of diagrams that you have. In fact, the second one, I've only drawn only one, but as I was showing last time, there are really three channels you have to sum over. These I, J, K run from 1 to N, and they are the Champaton labels of the matrix. They are the indices of the matrix. And it's then a completely trivial matter to just do this calculation. So I hope what's done here is completely transparent. The first diagram, for example, you see, maybe I'm belaboring the obvious, but so this is I and J, and this is K. So this propagator here is the one that gives me the first factor of 1 over ZI plus ZJ. The middle propagator here gives me the factor 1 over ZJ plus ZK. And finally, the third propagator gives me the third factor 1 over Z. I'm sorry, 1 over ZI plus ZK. So you just do this. It doesn't look very good, except when you sum all up. And then something rather remarkable happens, that this thing, which a priori could have been a complicated rational function, reorganizes itself as a simple, I'm not sure if you can see it, but it's 1 over ZI, ZJ, ZK. And now we start understanding this funny correspondence between the T's and the Z's. You see, TK comes from taking powers to K plus 1 of where you sum over the eigenvalues. So in that particular example, in which you have 1 over ZI plus ZJ plus ZK, if you sum over the Champaton level, you just get a factor of T0 cube. Is this completely clear? So you see what is happening here, as anticipated. So what is T0 cube? Well, remember, I'm computing the closed-string partition function as a function of this TKs, which is defined to be, as usual in field theory, we introduce some sources for to keep track of insertion. So if I want to compute the correlator of a 1 or 1 or 1, what I'm instructed to do is to take three derivatives with respect, in this notation, with respect to T0, possibly with 1 over 3 factorial or something like that. And the fact that that came out to be T0 cube over 6G string squared tells me, of course, that this is just 1 over G string squared. So diagrammatically, what I'm doing, of course, and that was the whole point of going through this exercise, is that from the closed string side, I'm computing just this, O1, O1, O1. But the way the Concievich matrix integral is working is computing a sphere diagram with three holes. And this will generalize. So what the Concievich formula is telling me is that if I want to compute, if I want to extract a certain correlator with n closed strings at a certain genus, I need to carry the perturbative expansion of the matrix model in the toothed language up where, using these double lines, I go to the value of 1 over n that gives me the genus I'm interested in, and I look at diagrams which have as many holes as the order of the closing correlator I'm interested in. And miracles will happen. This fanny factors of this from the propagator will reorganize itself as positive powers of the t's, and they will compute for me the right crossing correlator. So by the way, this is a highly non-trivial combinatorial fact that this happens, and that's sort of what where Concievich genius helped. So I mean, it's highly non-trivial that you could do that, and he managed to see this relation. But now we from our point of view, it's clear what's going on. So what the Concievich integral must be, it's the open string field theory of some brains of the theory, and what is happening is that by explicit integration of the modulus of the holes, we are replacing the D brains with a deformation of the closing background. Are there questions about this? Because this is sort of the essence of what I'm trying to say. Sorry? Well, this is so far not really a conclusion, but it's a hope. Once you have expressed this whole philosophy that I've expressed at least 20 times of holes shrinking to punctures, and you see how this simple matrix model is working, I mean, here there's an exact statement. So the closing theory has been solved by a set of people, and those people found that the exact solution is encoded by a certain function of the sources decays. Another person, whose name is Concievich, said that the same solution can be expressed as a function of this Z's, and there's a certain distinction between the T's and the Z's. And if you look at how his answer is working, well, in the perturbative expansion of the Concievich answer, you are computing a Riemann surface with a certain number of holes equal to the number of punctures of the corresponding diagram that you're interested in. So this very strongly suggests that this is an instance of what we want. It's an instance of this mechanism of open-closed duality, where the open string field theory is one way of looking at things, and computing crossing correlators is the dual way, and they're exact equivalent. Okay? So in this case, we also know what is the kind of dictionary we are after. Each hole in the Feynman diagram must become a specific linear combination of my crossing vertex operators according to this rule. And if that is true, then Concievich claim will follow by open-closed duality. Okay, so that's, I already said this. This is a transparency that repeats that, essentially. But so far, this is all wishful thinking. And what one can actually now really do, since we are, after all, we know precisely what this conformal, what this closing theory is, and we know how to construct boundary states in this closing theory, we can go ahead, impose the correct boundary conditions, and convince ourselves that this is really what is happening. And so there are some words there that may not be familiar to some of you, so let me try to explain them. And this will also not, actually, this will make contact with some more physical ideas. So it turns out, and you really have to take my word because there is no time to get into this discussion, that there are two types of physically very different deep brains you can introduce in Liouville field theory. One type of brain, roughly speaking, is Neumann. But it's not quite Neumann. There is an extra term on the right-hand side, which you can think of as integrating over the boundary of the worksheet a so-called boundary cosmological constant term. So your worksheet action is such that over the boundary of the worksheet, you just integrate this extra term. And what that does in space-time, roughly speaking, the meaning of that in space-time is, roughly speaking, that your deep brain will be extended for along phi. It's non-boundary condition along phi. But at some point, the brain will sort of condense to nothing. And the point where that happens is some point phi of the order of, let's say, let me try to get this right, minus log of this boundary cosmological constant. So a more another physical way to see this, to phrase this, which hopefully will make contact with things that many of you know, is tachyon condensation, which is in fact how we got to this whole business. So large thanks to the efforts of Ashok Sen, what we have learned in the last past few years that there is a very nice way to understand unstable brains in string theory, and unstable brains, so there is typically, there is this picture you have probably seen, there is a tachyon potential, the brains want, you want to roll down the tachyon potential, and condensation of the tachyon is what makes the brain, condensation of the tachyon lives on the brain is what makes the brain disappear. So typically, this is, in order to go from the top of this hill to the bottom of the hill, if you insist on doing this in a static way, you have to go off shell. Because, clearly, for intermediate positions, you're not an extreme of the potential. The luxury that you get here for this, in Liouville field theory, is that inside, the tachyons are really not tachyons. They are really massless. They are marginal deformations. And one way you can think of this deformation you turn on in the brain is a massless tachyon, which, however, preserves one of the features of the tachyon you're supposed to have. It makes the brain disappear. So turning on this deformation on the brain is making the brain gradually disappear, because you see, as I send this mu boundary to infinity, the brain is retreating more and more in that direction, and eventually, as I hit mu boundary equal infinity, there is no brain anymore. But I also told you that the natural vertex operator, closing vertex operator in the theory, are localized at phi equal minus infinity. So here is what you may suspect is happening, that if you insert in your correlator a boundary state with a certain boundary cosmological constant, and you now send this new boundary to infinity, you can hope, and this is in fact what will happen, that you will get a nice expansion in powers of inverse cosmological pots and in terms of vertex operator that live here. Is this clear? And in cases, in fact, it appears. So okay, I'm trying to understand this myself, but as far as I can tell, this property does not really depend on the theory being topological. Generic property of Liouville conformal field theory, independent of the fact that I added this extra method that is what is going to simplify my life in different aspects of the story. But this part of the story of being able, in some sense, to condense this tachyon, which is sort of what shrinks the hole and makes the brain evanesce into a sum of punctures, seems to be rather generic. And this is, of course, one of the reasons why you may be hopeful, because Liouville field theory and ADS, conformal field theory, as I was trying to quickly say before, share a lot of common elements. Okay? So I should also mention, for completeness, there is a second class of D-brains, which are physically quite different, which are instead localized for large values of phi. And so I should, these names, by the way, have names. So this is the so-called FZZT brains by Fadev, Zamolodzko, Zamolodzko, and Teschner. And these are the local brains which are localized at strong capitals, called ZZ brains, from the Zamolodzko. And, clearly, the physical picture of these brains is bound to be very different. There I don't have a handle to turn off the brain, like this mu boundary, and the interpretation of these objects, if you are familiar with the SFT, it's sort of clear what they will have to be. they would have to correspond to turning on BEVs for the operators. You're really inserting something in the middle of again, I'm sort of freely switching metaphors here and freely going between Liouville and ADS, but it is the familiar story in ADS that you are giving a VEF to the operator by using the other branch of this famous delta minus D equal M squared formula. So I don't know. If this remark was not clear, ignore it. So That's right. There is another picture which is also physically useful, perhaps, which is a picture based on the language of non-critical string theory. So the language I was using so far, because it's very useful, and it was the language of critical string theory, which are integrating over the moduli space of Riemann surfaces, and then I'm integrating over the various fields in theory, the Liouville field in this case, and these theta fields. So I think of this as my conformal, the sum of these two is my conformal field theory with central charge equal 26. And I'm not really distinguishing from this point of view phi from the theta. There are some matter fields that have central charge, total central charge equal 26. So, but of course, there is an equivalent, and so this is the integral of the moduli. There's an equivalent point of view in which I split things differently, and I put together the integral over the moduli and the integral over the Liouville field as the integral over the full two-dimensional metric divided by diffeomorphisms, where the two-dimensional metric is e to the phi times some fiducial metric. In other terms, I can either think of the integral of the moduli is, of course, the integral over the matrix up to divided by diffeomorphism divided by Weyl. And if I remember that the Weyl factor is nothing but the Liouville field, I can equivalently think of integrating over all metrics without dividing by the Weyl factor. And then these FCZT brains have a very interesting interpretation. In this language, now I'm path integrating over all two-dimensional metrics, and the insertion of a FCZT brain with boundary cosmological constant B turns out to be equal to the Laplace transform of the following object. I consider the Riemann surface with a hole of a fixed length L. In other terms, in doing my path integral over the two-dimensional matrix, I restrict the path integral to the matrix such that the length of this hole is exactly L. And if I want to obtain the brain with boundary cosmological constant mu boundary, I further convolute this with by making a Laplace transform.
And what's the boundary conditions of things at that hole?
No. Here, I'm just thinking in terms of two-dimensional quantum gravity. Well, yes, probably some trivial boundary condition on the metric, like maybe there is no need for that. I'm just integrating over the two-dimensional matrix with the restriction that I'm not thinking of all metric, but only over the metric such that the length of this boundary is L. Where the metric I'm considering is, of course, a metric where phi length L as measured in this complete metric. So from this point of view, you can actually see another reason why these funny brains may just become a sum of punctures, because as mu boundary becomes large, I'm focusing over smaller and smaller holes. Or to say differently, the expansion in inverse powers of mu b upon Legendre transform, Laplace transform becomes an expansion in positive powers of L. And it's sort of intuitive that as you send this L to zero, you're closing the hole. And you're replacing the hole with a local disturbance of your surface. Of course, this doesn't really explain why this sum converges, but in at least in non-critical string theory, it does. And again, this appears to be a property that does not depend on this extra funny matter I'm adding to make the theory topological. It seems to be a rather generic fact of these theories. Okay, so I sort of elaborated a lot on this point, but but that was to motivate the fact that if I now want to, it's very natural now to say that this conservative model will arise as the open string theory on N of these FCZT brains. And that also is natural from another point of view, that the FCC brains have a parameter mu boundary, and I needed a parameter for each hole to match with the Zs that are in the conservative model. So now the proposal is that if you consider the open string field theory on N of these FCCT brains with mu boundary equal to Z, that gives you the conservative model where when you look at the open channel. And if, so there are two things you really need to convince yourself of. First, and essentially that is what you will get as a proof from me, because I don't have too much more to offer. There's one argument that you need to give to show that the D brains can be replaced by some of our functions. And in fact, I've given you two arguments. One is based on the fact that from this picture, you can see that the FCZT brain is becoming, is going sort of being, is condensing, and it's becoming a disturbance at phi equal minus infinity. And another argument based on two-dimensional quantum gravity, that you can look at these so-called macroscopic loop operators and replace them as sum of punctures. So that's the argument to say that, unlike perhaps the generic case of normal D-brains in critical string theory, this type of D-brains will really become sum of closing punctures. And this is sort of what's written there. Of course, you need to argue that they become the precise sum that you want. And then there is a second point, which is you need to convince yourself that if you now look at the full-fledged with an open string theory on N of such D-brains, you get the conservative integral. If you're able to convince yourself of these two facts, then you have given an alternative proof of conservative formula from string theory. Because then the conservative formula, which is summarized here, follows from channel duality. Okay, so I think I've essentially, so the physics, I hope it's now clear, so now I can be very quick. There are some technical aspects that are a little bit unavoidable and they're not so crucial, so I can be somewhat more quick. Let me complete this slide. Let me complete this rich slide. So this is the formula I was explaining a few minutes ago, the fact that the you can think of in this quantum two-dimensional quantum gravity depression, you can think of the of adding this FCC brain with bounded chronological quantum B as the Laplace transform of the macroscopic loop operator, and people have checked in detail that in this, at least in these low-dimensional string theories, you get just a convergent sum. It, you can fully replace the loop operator with a sum of local insertions. So, of course, it's a crucial check of our philosophy that the powers you get of the boundary cosmological constant, which are fixed by the Liouville dressing of the operator, so you need to conserve Liouville momentum. So in the expansion of the macroscopic loop operator, you will get the power 1 over mu b 2k plus 1 accompanied with the operator which is dressed in the appropriate way to comprise the to make up for the vertex separator O to K plus 1. And that is what Concevich found in his formula. So the powers match, so up to normalization of the operators, which one can fix by other means, that is working as it should. So then the next part of the argument, which is really more technical, and it's, again, not so important, perhaps, that you really, well, I mean, of course, you may be interested, but in some sense, the physics should be already more or less clear, is that now I need to really look at the open string theory on the world volume on these D-brains and convince myself that I get the Concevich model. So, so there is perhaps one aspect which is a bit surprising of this whole story, and which is what, again, makes one hopeful that this may generalize in the way that one wants. The SDZ brains are, as I told you, are Neumann in a long phi. So you may have thought that the open string field theory living on them would have been matrix quantum mechanics, extended in the phi direction. But of course, that cannot happen if our ideas are correct and you get just the Concevich matrix model, which is a matrix model. So, and actually things work out that way. So you get, although you may have thought that the natural way to get a holographic theory in this context would have been to look at ZZ brains, I would say the natural way to get a holographic theory is in fact looking at FZZ brains, FZZD brains. Those are the ones that are, as I was trying to argue before, are naturally associated with the formations of the boundary conformal field theory, again, using freely switching metaphors with the DSCFT. And nevertheless, so those would be D brains extended in the Liouville direction, or if you wish, extending in the ADS direction. Nevertheless, they manage to be holographic in the sense that the open string theory living on them does not see the Liouville direction. So this is where the magic comes in. The point of considering the sequel minus 2 Mähler was that I can now argue that the theory is topological, and that's what will allow drastic simplification and collapse the full open string field theory to a matrix model. So the simple technical point is that you can if you look at the world volume theory on these D brains, now there are again this e to the alpha phi vertex operator, but they are open vertex operator; they live on the brain. And if you are careful enough to choose Dirichlet boundary condition for the theta, so that there's no funny zero mode for this funny theta system, basically, that's what you have. You have a copy of the current d theta alpha and these Liouville vertex operators on the boundary. And this, there's a simple trick. You can combine the theta and the Liouville into a beta gamma system, which turns out to have dimension 2 minus 1. This is a first ordered system of central charge 26. Which is, in some sense, a super partner of the usual ghost of section sharp 2 minus 1. And then you see, staring at you, the structure of a topological field theory. You have boson and fermions of the same, with the same conformal dimensions. And what will happen is that in the path integral, all the oscillators will cancel pairwise. And the whole fun will come from the zero modes. You can make this more precise as a scalar supercharge. And with that, I'm going to skip technical details. You can, in fact, argue that the full width and open string field theory will localize onto states which are killed by this topological charge QS. And so ultimately, up to terms which are QS exact, so they drop out, from correlators. What I'm doing here, I'm writing the open string field between brain I and brain J as a sum over a matrix over I and J, where X is a Hermitian matrix, and Tij are the tachyon vertex operator stretching between brain I and brain J. Of course, again, they're tachyons only. They're not really tachyons, they're massless. And this blue, so up, so the cubic theory will now become a matrix integral, where all that is left to compute is the blue terms, which are the coefficients of this matrix integral. Okay? So I've really skipped all the details. You shouldn't really care too much. But the point, of course, is now that the coefficients will now work out precise to give us the Concevich model. And this is very fairly non-trivial. So the point is that the way we're able to do this is that thanks to the exact solution of Liouville field theory, we can precisely look at the boundary Liouville correlators that contain some funny gamma functions. And we carefully take limits and after some short calculation, we find that indeed the kinetic term becomes the sum of the two boundary cosmological constants, which is precisely what we need. And the cubic term is just one, which is precisely what we need to identify the open string field theory with the Concevich metric model, which I remind you is just that. So, so this is, you don't really care about all these technical details, but the point is that we succeed. So, in this theory, we are able to see explicitly this open co-duality at work. I want to skip everything else, also because time is up. But let me emphasize the point again. So here I'm free to consider the model for finite n. If I do that, that is a consistent theory by itself, but in this dictionary between the Z's and the T's, I'm spanning a finite dimensional subspace of the T's. If I really want to invert the relation between the T's and the Z, I need to send n to infinity, and everything you can dream of computing in this theory is captured in the open string field theory on an infinite number of the brains, which is probably the correct formulation of all of string theory anyway. So this is a generalization to non-zero bulk cosmological constants you don't want to hear about. There are generalizations to more complicated models you also don't want to hear about. So there are lots of things you can do. So this is the simplest case. Less simple cases turn out to be considerably more complicated, and we are still a bit struggling with those, but the Picoma 1 models are particularly fun because, as I was mentioning before, they seem to be related to strings on ADS3, cross S3. There is a recent paper by Goschel, Mukhi, and Murthy that were extending precisely the set of ideas to SQL 1 and the set of dual radius. Again, so the last part of the talk was more technical. I hope you, the physics of what I'm trying to do is clear. There are clear hints, I hope, that this may extend, or some of this structure may embed, maybe naturally embedded in ADS-FT, where you think of the radial direction as the Liouville direction, and you think of considering open string field theory on brains which are extended in the radial direction. That would, of course, be a way to make more precise this old dream of Polyakov and others that, in order to do, to consider the string theory dual of a gauge theory, naturally leads you to an extra Liouville direction. Thank you.
Questions?
Yes.
I'm probably
models that make up certain non-critical string theories live in these localized zones.
That's right. Yeah, so I'm not sure I understand. Okay, at some do you want to finish the question or that's you want or that was saying.
I was just confused of how it ties up with.
Right, that's right. So I'm also confused, and but because I think there is a basic confusion which is not mine, which is the fact that the if you look at the open field theory on such localized brains. Okay, the open field theory, if you want to do it properly a la Witten, it's going to be horrendously complicated. But you may hope that perhaps by some theory definition, since after all these theories have very few degrees of freedom, you may just end up with a with an effective tachyon action, which just has the tachyon living on. So suppose we take the most sort of physical and fun case, which is C equal 1, where we actually have some time direction. Then you may think that the matrix model you are considering is some matrix quantum mechanic. And the nice observation that was emphasized last year is that the tachyon field living on, first of all, on these brains are really tachyonic. There's a tachyon which really has m squared smaller than zero. So there is a mass term for them on the, and if you somehow ignore by hand higher terms, which will certainly appear in such a tachyonic effective action, what you get is something that will appear to look like this famous inverted harmonic potential, which is again, some of you may be familiar with the story. Actually, let me do it only one side. The exact solution of the theory based on the matrix model can be rephrased in terms of free fermions living in an inverted harmonic potential will fill the Fermi level up to a point. Now, although it's suggestive that you get the same type of tachyonic potential on the ZZ brains of the theory, it is certainly not obvious to me, nor I dare say anybody else, how come this is supposed to give you a discretization of the Riemann surface. It seems to me that you're just considering, at best, the open symmetry theory on the brains in the continuum theory. So, so I don't quite know in which precise sense people are saying that the theory is related to the double scale limit of the matrix model. As often is the case, the most sensible interpretation of this is given by Ashok Sen, who, ignoring the relation with the double scaling limit, which is confusing, said that, well, the way we should interpret this is perhaps by some complicated change of variables that we don't quite yet understand, the full open field theory on a finite number n of ZZ brains becomes fully equivalent to doing quantum mechanics of n free fermions in this inverted harmonic potential. And that's obviously a consistent quantum theory by itself because n free fermions are just n free fermions. And by the exact same type of philosophy that I was showing you here, the theory describes a finite dimensional subsector of the full crossing theory. And as you increase this n, you may be able to compute more and more accurately correlators of closed strings in this theory. How is that supposed to be related to the idea of discretizing surfaces? I think nobody knows. And probably there is no obvious relation. I don't know if you have some. No, I'm not saying it's wrong. It actually is, if you follow Ashok's point of view, it is exactly in the same speed of what I've been telling you here. Namely the fact that you're looking at the, you have a certain closing theory. You look at the brains in that theory, and the theory on, first of all, nobody is forcing you to consider an infinite number of deep brains. If you decide to do so, you are free to consider two of them. The open field theory living on two such brains is a consistent quantum theory, which will capture a subspace of the full closing theory. What I don't understand is in which sense that is related to taking the double scaling limit of a finite n matrix model that builds up the Riemann surface by triangulation. That is the part that is totally mysterious to me, because we are just looking at deep brains in the continuum sync theory. So I think it's perfectly okay to say that to say what Ashok is saying, so it is in some sense a DSFT in that context as well. Although perhaps this is a more, I mean, so obviously you are free to use all the analogies you want. So the question is, which analogy you should focus on to make progress. And it seems to me that if we want to hope to extend this with the SFT, this type of mechanism is more promising, because I can sort of see a conformal theory living here somehow.
Other questions? Well, I have a quick one, if I may. So on the previous slide, you had, there's a comment about background independence. Can you explain that?
Well, not really. I mean, there is this whole story that...
You passed it.
I'm sorry.
That's the one.
Yeah. Well, this is related to K-theory, which I don't understand. But in the context of maybe the physics of it is clear enough. Remember, what this whole construction of Sen, of taking brain antibrains and then condensing some tachyons and constructing lower brains and all of that, which is the physical basis of interpreting deep brain charges in K-theory that were... this works of a few years ago. And it turns out that there are certain technical aspects of K-theory, which I don't understand very well, where it is more natural to consider an infinite number of brains. So the physical picture that I would have with, again, is the fact that if you only have a finite number of brains, you're not going to be able to describe an arbitrary background. But if you have an infinite number of grains, you may be able to do so. And in some sense, the picture here, perhaps, is that you have an infinite number of decayed brains, which in the context of these FCCD brains, you can think you have an infinite number of brains which have an infinite value of this boundary cosmological constant. And as you are considering more and more complicated closing algebraic, you can sort of pop them out of the vacuum by taking this mu b to be a little bit less than infinite, and then you can construct more and more complicated backgrounds. In the context of these localized brains, you could equally well say that you have a finite number of these free fermions, and if you want to consider more and more accurate scattering amplitudes, you need to send them infinity. And in some sense, why is that related to background independence? Well, because in some sense, the theory over infinitely many of them is the mother theory from which you can get all the possible backgrounds.
You're talking about flat brains or infinite number of flat brains?
Well,
in general?
No, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, in this solvable quantity, it's sort of clear what one means. You can get everything. The whole physics is contained on an infinite set of these brains. This reference Witten is in a technical context of K-theory, where he was arguing that for certain technical aspects, it's more natural to consider sort of a reservoir of infinitely many brain antibrains, and that was making certain calculations more transparent.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions? Shiraz.
So in the C equals one theory.
Yes.
There, would you say that the Hill theory on the world volume of one brain of the extended guy?
Yes. Yes, so this was looked at in this recent paper by Ghoshal, Mukhi, and Murthy, who pretty much followed this recipe of looking at the open symphony theory if you want to get something topological, which is certainly useful if you want to hope to do things as pretty open symphony theory, they look at the theory that sets dual radius. And they there you really expect something similar as here, in which the full open symphony theory collapses to a cubic matrix integral, where now, but naturally enough, you don't have just one matrix, but infinitely many matrices, which roughly amount at the SU2 harmonics. The closing vertex operator of C equals 1 and the dual radius are labeled by SU2 quantum numbers.
But what about continuum modes along the Liouville direction?
Those drop out, as they do in our story here at C equals minus 2.
Because you're putting some different physical statement.
No, just from the point of view of the open string field theory. Right, you have, naively, you think you have them here as well.
Okay.
Because if you look at the spectrum of the open Liouville field theory, there are e to the alpha phi states. But none of them is a physical vertex operator. No, they can't, one technical answer, if you just look at the BRSC homology of the open string theory, well, you will just get the usual vertex operators, which are dressed by integer powers of phi, where phi is, which are again localized for phi equal minus infinity.
And no, e to the power I, k, phi.
No, those things are not there. It might, in the end, be a matter of language, in the sense that they are implicitly there, but you're slicing up your field space in a different way. So, how should I say this? In the Liouville path integral, there's a question of how you're supposed to sum over intermediate states. So, one natural way you may think you're summing over intermediate states is summing over the states you are mentioning. But from the point of view of the open sim field theory, you are supposed to integrate over the space-time fields. What are the natural space-time fields here? Well, the natural space-time fields here are the physical open sim vertex operator, which are all dressed like this. So from the point of view of the space-time fields, I would say that the natural prescription should do path integrals over the fields that are coupled to this type of vertex operators. I'm not sure if I have a much more precise way to say that. But at the end of the story, you seem to get the correct matrix model. I mean, in their story, of course, it would be very nice, they haven't yet quite succeeded, to map the matrix model you get that way to some kind of Penner matrix model or whatnot. But it's clear that if you're ever going to get such a correspondence, you don't want any continuum states, because the Penner matrix model is just the Penner matrix model. So I don't know, but okay. I think that's the right thing to do.
Okay. So maybe we should close this session.
Yeah.
So we thank Leonardo again for his excellent lecture. So thank you very much.